G'day everybody. I'm Steve Walker, I'm one of the ministers here at St. Barney's, and I've got a tiny bit of a secret to tell you. That's my son, hi buddy. I'm one of those strange people who prefer Christmas Eve to Christmas Day. I think it's because it's when Christmas finally starts. So for me growing up, both my parents worked, and so getting ready for Christmas always felt really hectic. You know what it's like? There's food to buy and prepare, there's presents to buy and to wrap, there's cooking and the cleaning, and I have to clean my room even though we closed the room. It doesn't make any sense. But once we finally got to Christmas Eve, it was time for all of that to stop, and we could just start enjoying Christmas. And so tonight, my hope is that we can do the same. I'm sure it's been busy. It's certainly been hot. It's maybe been frantic. I was up at Westfield today. There were a lot of people there. I know there's always a lot of people there, but it was extra a lot of people there. So it's time, I think, for us to just to stop, to pause, and to listen and remind each other of something that happened in a back shed almost 2,000 years ago. I'm going to lead us in prayer and ask God to help us to do that. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, when Jesus walked the earth and he came into the home of Mary and Martha, who were sisters, Martha busied herself with many preparations while Mary came and sat at your feet that she might hear what you have to say. And there was much to be done and many people to be cared for, and yet it was Mary whom you commended for stopping to listen to you. We pray, Father, that you would help us to similarly stop and listen to you, that you would help us to clear our minds and open our hearts that we might hear you. We pray that you would help me to speak clearly and faithfully as I should. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. About 1,000 years ago, in the year 1066, about 20 years after he'd sailed over from Normandy and conquered England, William the Conqueror ordered the compilation of a book. The book would later be called the Doomsday Book, a very heady title. The book was actually not all that interesting because it was nothing more than a survey. It was a survey of all the land held by this new king, allegedly down to the yard. So who held the land before the conquest, after the conquest, its value, what its tax assessment would be, and what resources the holding had. That meant every peasant was counted because they were thought of as to be part of the resources. But not just every person, but every cow and sheep and pig and chicken and egg. Plows and other farmyard equipment were included so that this king knew that about every single resource in his kingdom. Now, what was the reason for such a massive undertaking in the year 1086? One word, of course, power. It's about power. Because it was both a demonstration of and a consolidation of his power. As a king, he was documenting and declaring all that was his. With this book, with the Doomsday Book, he knew how much to tax different people with this book. He knew which counties had an excess of corn and which had an excess of sheep, and he could move them around as needed. With this book, he had the opportunity to predict which counties might cause an uprising, perhaps because there was an earl who was against him and there was a whole number of young men willing to fight and so on. Surveys like this have always been and still are today about power and about knowledge because, as we know, knowledge is power. But more than 1,000 years before this one in 1086, an even greater census was undertaken by an even greater ruler. Verse 1 of our text tonight reads, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world." This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their town to register. Caesar Augustus, of course, was the adopted nephew of Julius Caesar. He was the second emperor of Rome. And this census was enormous. It was nearly unprecedented in the ancient world, nearly. But it was massive because by this stage, the Roman world spanned the entire Mediterranean Sea. In fact, by that stage, the Romans just started calling it our sea because they were the ones that owned it. But the Roman world was massive and everyone had to go back to their hometown to register, and so the town was really full. Imagine if everyone who had ever left a country town was forced to go back there for a census with their families. I imagine a town like Wagga Wagga would be pretty full pretty quickly, right? Verse 4, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Imagine a town being so full that there was no room for a woman who was about to give birth. Or perhaps consider an innkeeper who was so heartless that he wouldn't make room for a woman who was about to give birth. Either way, it was either outside on the street or out the back with the animals. It's not much of a choice, but Mary and Joseph chose the animals. And so she gives birth surrounded by mess and animals and flies and smells and noises and dirt. And she has a son and she has nowhere to put him except in a manger. Now, our images over the last 2,000 years of Jesus in a manger, it looks a very serene scene. It's always very well lit, which I can't imagine it was back before electricity. But it's clean. There's beautiful, nice, clean straw. The animals are lying peacefully in the background. Everything was really peaceful. That was not what it was like. There was probably poo on the floor. The animals there that were loud, they were stomping. And there is nowhere to... There's the two options, it would seem to me, for this child are on the floor in the mess or in the food trough. Mary had no choice but to put that tiny, delicate newborn baby, and they are pretty delicate, in a feed box. This probably very young girl with a new baby was out the back in a shed with little more than a few bits of cloth and a food trough. There aren't many people who have come from humbler beginnings than this. Now, I'm in the stage of life where my children, I've got two, one is 3 and one is about 14 months, where my children and my nieces and nephews are all preschoolers. And so our family, the wider family, we're all in the beginning of raising children. And so one of the things that I like to do and one of the things I often take the conversation towards is thinking about what these children are going to be like. You know, as we watch them play and interact, some of them are bossy, some of them only want to chase the ball, others of them just watch the ball go past. And it's fun to think about, you know, what sport will she play? You know, what instrument will he play? Will she be a doctor? Will he be a preacher? Will they be the sort of person who is a leader or a carer or a supporter or a defender of other people? What will these children grow up to be? And it's great fun to project their lives out. But when it comes to Jesus and what kind of person he would be, we don't need to wonder because we're told right from the start what he will do and who he will be. Have a read of verse 8 with me again. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The baby born to Mary is no ordinary child. He will be a Savior, Messiah, and Lord. Savior, because he is to save people from the consequence of their sin, their rebellion against God. Messiah or Christ. It's the same word in two different languages. But he'll be the Messiah because he's the anointed one. Anointed one, what does that mean? It just means that you are chosen to do something special. Anointed means chosen to do something special. And thirdly, he's the Lord or the King because he would rule. Now, these are heady titles. These are big calls to make about a baby who was born to a very humble family. Now, I have a son, I mentioned before, and the only title I've been able to bestow upon him so far is my surname, Walker. And I'm pleased to say, at age 3, he's earned that name. He can walk. He is finally a walker. Our little girl, Ari, is on the way. She's close. But before he could walk, Jesus was declared to be Savior, Messiah or Christ, and Lord. And how were shepherds to recognize this magnificent Savior, Christ, King? Well, he'll be wrapped up in cloths and lying in all places in a feed box. The shepherds were not sent to a palace, not even a temple. They were sent to the back shed. And humble doesn't really cover it, I don't think. It's embarrassing. It's almost embarrassing. But the shepherds aren't worried too much about that. They're used to living outdoors. They're used to being with animals, so they talk amongst themselves and decide, yes, they will head into town and they will see this momentous child. And so, verse 16, so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words, and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Well, having had a closer look at what actually happened 2,000 odd years ago, what are we to think of that baby in a manger? Well, I think there are two things that we can take from this passage. The first is that we must remember who this baby is. This is the one who would be Savior and Christ and Lord, whose arrival was not announced with a Facebook announcement or a letter in the paper, but with a huge number of angels. Nothing about this child is ordinary. And so, when we see depictions of our Lord and Savior as a baby, and we celebrate God coming to earth this Christmas, then I hope as you see those nativity scenes in people's houses that it acts as a reminder for you to help to ask God to send a little prayer to help us to remember who that little child is. That is, when you see a nativity scene, ask God to help you remember who Jesus really is. He is Savior, Christ, Lord. He was the one who was chosen, the Christ, to die on a Roman cross for our sins, Savior, and be raised to life to take his place as the King of this earth. He is Lord. We would do well at Christmas to remember who Jesus would become and what he would do. Now, if you don't yet trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I'm so glad you're here. But I hope that at least you've seen that there is a lot more going on in this little story than a nice story that Christians roll out at Christmas time. There's a lot more to it than we first thought. So maybe it's time, maybe 2020 is the year when you find out what this Lord Jesus and Christianity is really about and make a more informed choice this year. Maybe 2020 is the year. So firstly, remember who this baby is. And secondly, we can take the example of the shepherds as we prepare for Christmas. The shepherds are called by some as the first Christian evangelists because they go away and what do? They tell people what they heard and saw. That's all evangelists really do. They return to their work glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and done. They had seen the child who would be Savior. They had seen the Christ, the Lord. It's not bad for shepherds. Shepherds, as a rule, are not usually well-connected people, at least not well-connected to people who would be future kings. I've been watching The Crown with my wife lately. It's hard to imagine that shepherds would be invited into Buckingham Palace days or hours after the future king had been born to come and see this new child. But these ones were. These shepherds came to see. How much more we Christians, we who know Christ, who have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, how much more have we to praise God and to glorify Him over Christmas? And lastly, as you meet with various friends and family over the Christmas period, as you share in all of the wonderful Christmas traditions, at least I hope they're wonderful, they may not be for you, but make sure that you speak, make sure you speak of the one who came so humbly, the Saviour, the Christ, the Lord, the real Jesus, the one we read of in the Scriptures. Maybe you could ask to give thanks before the meal, and you could pray and lead people in prayer for this Saviour, this Christ, this Lord. Or maybe you could even be a little bolder than that and ask to read this piece of Scripture as you gather together. And say we're gathering for Christmas, why don't we just remind ourselves of what happened and read the Bible with your family and friends? What a wonderful 2 minutes to take out of Christmas. Tell people that this Christmas is not just about a tiny, frail baby, but a frail baby who came to be our Saviour, our Christ, and our Lord. So show them, tell them what happened, or bring them back to Christmas tomorrow. As we declare the truth of this all-important child, what a wonderful way we can serve each other this Christmas. I'm so glad you've came. I'm looking forward to meeting all of you at the back afterwards. But I'll pray to finish my time here. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, with all there is to do and with so many people to see as we approach Christmas, please help us to remember who that baby is, what he came to do, and who he truly is. Help us to see and to remember that he is not just a helpless babe, but the Lord of all creation. Father, we ask that you would help us to be bold in sharing what we know about him at Christmas time. Help us to talk with people, not just about catching up, not just about what's going on in their lives and ours, but about the real Lord Jesus. Perhaps to read the Bible with them or to bring them to church. Help us, please, to be bold and to share what we know about the most important baby ever born. Father, help us to remember that Saviour, that Christ, our Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.